if you saw giant cauliflower-shaped protrusions coming from somebody's ass, would you touch that?
I got my feet in cement. I got my head in the clouds. You might call me demented, but I am too damn proud. I got a hunger for something outside the status quo. So pull up your chair. We are full automatic. We are out and about. We are singing hallelujah with our hearts torn out. No need to beat on what you already know. Your place has been set.
It is you, Wanda. Go for it.
Oh, is it me today?
It's
fabulous.
You.
I had no idea. I'm drunk. And I'm not wearing any underwear. Hello there, everyone. My name is Wanda Wisdom, and I am live in my very own boudoir, starting off another delicious episode of Eat This Hot Sanitary Pad.
Ew.
Otherwise known as Eat This Hot Show. I'm joined in the virtual studio by none other than the mother of podcasting, that wizened old whore, Madge Weinstein. Say hello, you fat, ugly cow.
Hello.
And on my left, virtually speaking, actually probably a little bit to the west, is that delicious and alcoholic tranny mess, otherwise known as Vera Charles.
I'll drink to that. Hello, no. Lovies.
Active. You forgot the word active, Wanda, or else you're not really distinguishing between you and her.
Oh, that is true. I'm sorry. What? She is not a recovering alcoholic. She is an active woman
in
her cups.
I ask you, what the hell is the point of being an alcoholic if you can't be active?
Well, you can be passive.
True, if you're a bottom, which I don't imagine you're a bottom, Vera. I think you're an angry, angry top.
You know, I'm what I like to call versatile.
Ugh. Which means easy.
Yeah, basically. And I know Madge is now squirming out of her skin because she hates sex talk. She thinks of me as her elderly grandpa.
Three words come to mind. Lesbian bed death.
Oh, lesbian.
Some sort of fetish.
Is
no,
that a
it's
syndrome?
What happens to lesbians after we've lived together for 2 weeks. We stop having
sex. Well,
I
do want to know this about Auntie Vera Charles because I don't really know much about her personal goings on. But do you still have sex?
I hope so.
You hope so?
Yeah,
are
well,
you
I mean,
like
I would hope so. I think, you know, what you don't...
Well, what I mean by that is butt sex, because I know a lot of gay men sort of... They remove the anal component from their relationship at a certain point.
No, we're still working on fisting.
Oh, I don't buy that.
I do.
Maybe fisting the folds.
I believe it.
First of all, I would never in a million years talk about my intimate life in that way.
And you were calling me out for not wanting to talk about it, even though I'm going to today.
No. I'm talking about intimate details. But I will tell you this, that after you've been together for 25 years, the everything becomes comfortable and everything becomes... There's just a different sense about everything after 25 years. So I think you can't expect that you're going to have driving, music in the background, amyl nitrate up your nose, banging the shit out of each other sex after 25 years. I'm too old and tired.
What she means, Madge,
well, no, that would be Wanda.
Well, that's a Freudian slip.
There's a lot of duty.
I don't doubt that because I think as you get older, things tend to dribble out.
They start to run.
Now, do you ladies have this thing where after you have a really big shit, now this is something I've noticed with old age, where I take a really big duty, and as you would say, Madge.
Right, I would. Uh-huh.
And then I wipe my anus and stand up and say a little prayer.
Uh-huh.
I button my my halter top back up or whatever.
Okay.
And I wash my hands, and then all of a sudden I have to pee again.
Oh,
that's
yes,
your prostrate.
That happens with age, my darling. That
you need
happens
to finger
age.
Your prostate, honey. You need to massage your prostate. This is the problem that if you're not a homosexual, I know a lot about these sexual things.
How do you know about this? You don't got
a prostate. I study this. I'm a lesbian anthropologist. You know that, Wanda. Don't torment me this way.
Yawn.
But when gay men are not bottoms, they need to stimulate. And this goes for straight men, too. They need to stimulate their prostates in some ways. So that, you milk the prostate so that it don't be getting big. And it helps prevent the cancer. Because what happens is it rubs up against your urethra and your bladders, and then you got to pay a lot.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't know that. I'm not opposed, for the record, of getting a good cornholing on occasion.
Okay.
But is it kind of like the those sacks on certain dogs that you have to, like, squeeze?
The anal glands?
Yeah.
Whoa, it's a little bit like that, but it's not anal glands. I'm talking about prostratum, all the way up in there, all the way up in there. There are websites where you can learn how to milk your prostate. They're very good. And there's a product.
Milk, as in like there's actually something going to come out.
There's little teats. They're little tiny teats you have to reach up and grab.
You need to learn a lot about your prostate.
Oh, my God. Listen, yeah, go ahead.
I'm done with the prostate talk.
Really?
You need to...
No, but where does one go? Because I bet there's a lot of homosexuals out there.
Look up
Dr.
Massage.
Andrew Weil. Dr. Andrew Weil is the greatest natural medicine, good sense eat. This guy is brilliant, and we've been following him for years, and I just got all kinds of tests back from the doctor, and I should be, like, dying, but I'm in great shape. Everything, all my vitals are great, and all my blood levels are great, and my cholesterol's great, and everything. It's because Gooch has put me on this regimen of life that he follows from Dr. Andrew Weil, including Dr. Andrew Weil suggests that you masturbate at least, if you're not having sex, masturbate at least twice a week in order to do exactly
what Madge is talking about. Yeah, but it also helps to stick the finger up there. They don't like to talk about that. But you know, Wanda, you can have one of your listeners buy you that thing, the Aneros. You know about the Aneros, don't you?
I have a gal pal who has one of those, and I want one because, man, I had an anal orgasm once upon a time, and that shit almost made me fly and have an out-of-body experience.
Like, and then, you don't like Wicked. That's the problem. That's why you don't understand the songs. It's all about anal orgasms. Maybe now you'll like it.
Wicked
with the witches.
Oh,
yeah,
the musical. The
Broadway.
Wanda.
Broadway.
Wanda.
Yes, darling.
Describe an anal orgasm for those of us who don't know what
you're talking
about.
Oh, God. I don't know how to tell you what it's like other than to say it is a far longer experience than your usual orgasm.
Does it differ from an orgasm while your prostate is being stimulated?
Well, it's kind of one and the same.
Because
that
is a remarkable.
You're talking
feeling.
About an ejaculation or no ejaculation? I come with this.
I'm talking about both at the same time. Like you're literally singing in languages that you've never heard before.
Okay.
Coming in tongues. That's called coming in tongues.
Were you getting fucked up the ass at the time?
Hard. Actually, you know what? I have to be honest with you. I wasn't getting fucked by anybody other than myself.
It was a dilder? You're getting me a little hot. Hold on. Oh.
Now, wait a second. Hold it. Hold it.
Holy
I have
moly.
Madge.
Yeah?
Excuse me. When Wanda talks about sex, you get hot?
Amily,
but when I talk about sex, you get sick?
Well, wouldn't put it that way. No. Well, where do you get that?
Well, you said you didn't want to hear it, especially the other day.
I don't know what I said from the other day.
God, that woman just holds on to resentment.
Listen, I have no idea what I talk about. I'm just babbling, so get over it. But I do want to talk about the old man I almost murdered 5 minutes ago.
Oh, my God.
Can I just talk about it real quick? I have to get this out. I'm sorry.
Are we done with anal orgasms?
We don't have to be, but I need to get this out.
No, get it out. Shit, it exploded.
We talked
and
a couple
I don't
weeks
hold on to resentments, you bitch.
Yeah. Mm.
Yes, you
Turn
do.
Your mic off, though. I had, we talked a couple weeks ago about punching cars, and I specifically talked about how I teach
I don't remember what we
lessons.
Talked about a couple weeks ago. How do I retain that stuff? I just say it and it's out
well,
there.
Well, because
get over
you're
it.
Not me, moron. That's the difference. Get your own
AKA.
Disability.
AKA
I got memory loss. So anyway... A couple of weeks ago, we was talking about punching cars, me in particular, you know, using the excuse that I teach driver's lessons. Well, I was walking Trothgate, took him on a 4-mile walk this morning, and coming back, the building next to mine is one of these, you know, fancy vintage mid-rises, and there's a car blocking the sidewalk, which normally isn't the case because there's plenty of room inside. And it's an SUV. I wait a little bit thinking, well, maybe I'll move. So instead, he's not moving. So I'm like, well, I can walk in front of the car or behind it. I chose to walk behind. There was no room in front. And as soon as I walk behind, the car slowly starts to back up. And me and Trotsky are back there. So, of course, I just slam on his back window with my flat hand because I didn't want to punch it, you know, like a fit, like an anus. And I punch the thing and I just lost all control. Except for my bowels. I just started screaming, learn to drive. And I saw it was an old man in a big SUV. Learn to drive, Grandpa. And I just kept screaming, learn to drive, Grandpa. And he's like making faces at me. And I wanted him to fight. You know, I wanted him to say, fuck you. But he didn't. And then he finally rolls down his window. He goes, what? I go, you almost ran over me and my fucking dog, you asshole. And then he sees that Trotsky's next to me, and he sees how cute Trotsky looks. He says, oh, my goodness, I am so sorry. I go, I don't give a fuck. Fuck you. If you can't learn to drive, you should give back your fucking driver's license. Go fuck yourself. Seriously.
Is that something you learned in your program?
It is disgust, but I don't believe I handle it the way it's suggested. It's called justifiable anger and almost homicide. So I just kept screaming at him, and a crowd was starting to form, and people from the building were coming out, and the parking attendant, he's like, I'm sorry. I didn't even hear what the guy said. He was just so apologetic. I'm so sorry. I'll fuck you with I'm sorry. So terrible.
Unbelievable.
I was humiliated and I went home and I'm never leaving the house again. That's my story in the end. Back to anal sex.
No, I think that's just wonderful because, you know,
I feel horrible. As
I can't wait till you're 80.
I know you can't, but you'll be dead by then, so don't worry. Actually, you won't because I'm
older. You're older than me.
Well, I have good readings too, so at this point, either of us could go first.
That's true.
What one?
I think that's fabulous that you're a human being and you Jesus. Have emotions.
Oh, I dropped my fucking headphones.
Oh, but somebody tell me it's that I did the right thing.
Yeah, it ain't coming right from thing, here.
But at least you're aware of it, you know. I mean, at least you can laugh about it now. That poor man is probably going to have to go to therapy. But
I said he's probably at the emergency room having an EKG because he's got irregular heartbeats now.
And I said, well, everybody's got to go sometime.
God.
Oh, gosh. I feel terrible. What should I have done? Let's pretend this is an advice question. Ladies.
Yeah, but you know what? That's one of those situations where I think it's like, you know, when a child is about to touch a hot stove, you just got to smack them because it's a raw emotional.
Thank you. You're right. I was just disciplining a young child. Now I don't feel bad.
I don't.
Shut up,
you.
Vera.
Okay,
you can talk. I just know you're going to tell me I'm a bad person. And
I'm going to tell you the truth because that's what I tell. I tell the truth.
Go ahead. I'll turn my mic off. Go ahead.
So wise.
Tell me.
I can take it.
You are absolutely. Why don't you go put on a dress and get off my back?
I have on a dress, you bitch.
I was talking to the drag queen. Oh. You were absolutely right for slapping the back of the car. I agree completely. If he started to back up and didn't see you, I would have kicked the shit out of the car, especially if I had my dog there.
Right.
And you were probably semi-right to yell.
I'll settle for semi-right.
Okay, to yell. However, when the feeble old fart began to apologize, that would have been the time to rise above your primal anger and perhaps say, okay, fine, I accept your apology, but please be more careful because I was really concerned for the safety of my dog and me.
Yes, I agree. That would be the correct response. But Vera, why did I do that? The last time, even when it was that Russian guy, I was able to get composed. And when they apologize, usually I'm like, blah, 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 back, folded back up.
It's your escape valve now. What's happened is all of the tension that you carry with you in your everyday life, and you carry a lot of it, you've found a way to release it.
At
cars. And I think perhaps you're putting yourself in situations so that you can beat the shit out of cars and yell at people because it's probably a release for you.
Yeah, but isn't it wrong?
Well, it's absolutely wrong to, I mean, well, no, first of all, like I said, it's okay to protect yourself and to slap a car that's back in India. Absolutely right. To shout a little bit. You know, what are you doing? What, don't you see where you're going? That kind of shouting. When you go into the personal attack mode, Gramps, give your license back.
Grandpa. I don't know where that came from. It's like all these senior citizens just staring. God. And then when I walked away towards my building, there was this old lady walking towards me. She just like completely removed herself from the sidewalk when I started to pass. She was so terrified.
She was afraid. She was afraid for her safety.
She was absolutely terrified. Now contrast this with something that happened the other day as I was walking Trotsky on the sidewalk, and out of nowhere in a small alley comes a bicyclist, and he came within a millimeter, and I'm not joking, of hitting Trotsky with his bike. He slammed on his brake. I said heel, pulled Trotsky away just in the nick of time. No harm done whatsoever, but equally a close call, if not more a close call. And I didn't say a word to the guy. I just kept walking and controlled my anger. Why?
You controlled your anger because there was a body and not a car. There was a physical person.
I think the guy must have been hot. Did he have a large penis?
Thanks
no,
for
but
sharing,
he looked
Wanda.
Like he could
anyway,
beat me up.
That's the point, is he that could, when I, it's yeah. the same thing as road rage. People in cars are protected by this armor around them, so they become absolute assholes.
But I wasn't in the car.
No,
I was the one that could have been run over.
But you were separated.
Vera, your skills here may be, I think you got it right the first time, but
you're separated.
I think it's just
by
it's
a
just
car.
It was clearly your state of mind.
So what do I do?
Different. Get over it. Why is it such a fucking big deal? I mean, come on. You overreacted, and now you feel bad about it, so you probably won't do it again. It's all good.
If I see the guy, I'll apologize.
You're a good
But I swear that's... You know, I think that's the second time that guy's done it to me. And the first time, I just rolled my eyes.
Well, this time, the next time, he may not actually stop. He may keep backing up.
I have no problem getting all Wonder Woman and shit.
Do you own a pair of tights?
Girl, I do. You know I do. Are you being anti-lesbian again?
Covering up those very close veins.
Very close to what? Is Vera still there?
I'm still here.
Okay. I'm sorry to have derailed the conversation, but I had to get that out. I do have one more thing to get out.
Yes.
Which is?
Well, I don't know if... it's relevant or not, and Wanda, you're the host, so you have to
clearly,
ask.
We're really concerned about relevant.
Well, I got laid yesterday.
What?
Congratulations.
I got laid. I met a lesbian in the park, and she showed
That's
me her
it?
Lips.
What?
What?
What's the problem?
We didn't hear you. What'd you say?
You got some dick in the park?
Lip. Well, I didn't get the lips in the park. I met someone nice in the park while I was walking my dog. And she said, my pussy's all wet. I said, well, take out your lips and prove it. And she did in the park. I said, let's see them lips. And she
Are
showed me
serious?
The lips.
Are
I'm
you serious? Are you
serious? Yeah.
You said show me and that individual showed you?
Well, she said she got a lip on.
She said... She looked at you. Hi, how are you? Walking through the park.
No, not that quickly. There was a lot in between.
Small talk and cocktails first.
Well, yeah. I passed her. We were going opposite directions in the park. I passed her because you know I'm a lesbian, so of course I date other women.
I know.
I passed her, and she was looking fine. And then she looked back at me. I looked back at
Thank
her.
God
she looked
she
back
wasn't
at
in
me.
A car.
I looked back at her. Then I'm looking back. I'm like, where'd she go? So she starts taking a roundabout towards the inner park. So I go sit me on a bench with Trotsky, waiting for the next old person to come round for me to punch.
Yell at.
And then so she comes over and she sits down next to me. And, you know, we start chatting about nothing, small talk. I don't remember what it was. And she said, wow, you're making me really wet. And I said, and she grabs her vagina through her jeans. I said, and it looked like I could see some layups. So I said,
I can't believe someone would do that.
Oh,
would
get say- over it, Mary.
Don't you live in L.A. for crying out loud?
Yeah, you don't believe it because she lives in a fucking Frank Lloyd Wright-esque house, you know, with a dog and, you know, and Doris fucking Day next door.
Didn't you?
That don't mean the shit don't fucking happen.
'70s?
Yes, I did. I did, Wanda. I did. And also, I like Dinty I said, Moore. I lived at the bathhouses a lot.
Yeah.
So what I never truly, and I want you to finish your story, Madge, so don't let me interrupt it.
That's all right.
But I just
I have a great memory, so that's fine.
Oh, fuck me. I just want to say I never, ever experienced anything in public. Not that I didn't want to. I just never did. So I'm always, me, you know, I just never was in the right place. And I can't believe that someone would look at someone that they met and been small talking with for a while and say, you know, my lips are swollen. I just can't.
There was an energy. And I said, yeah, show me the lip.
Oh, my God.
And I get up to block her so that, you know, nobody can see, you know, who happens to be jogging by. She said, I said, oh, that's a very nice lip. and anyway, and then she's like, well, yeah, blah, 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 blah. I said, well, she's like, well, where do you live? The inevitable. So I said, I live far away. I was lying. I was like across the street. Where do you live? I live in Logan Square. Well, I said, I'd invite you over, but my house is messy. And I mean, it's really messy. And then she goes, oh, okay. Well, I'll give you my number. We can hook up sometime. I live in Logan Square. I said, oh, okay. Well, I don't mind going to Logan Square. So we get up. We start walking. And then she goes, you know, I really don't mind a mess. I go, are you sure? I'm a pig. I mean, not in a sexual way, but I'm a pig. And she goes, well, okay, tell you what. I'll go swimming, and then I'll call you back in an hour. And, you know, we had exchanged them. So I thought, okay, this is the blow off. I said the typical Madge Weinstein stupid thing. I said, I'm a pig, but not in a sexual way, which sounds retarded. And
you said that?
I said that. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
I was talking about my house because, you know, I didn't know what it looked like. So she says, okay, so we'll go. Anyway, so I thought, well, this is a good opportunity to go and get some dental dams and, you know, wipe this maple syrup off the floor in the bathroom and the urine off the kitchen floor. And then, you know, and sure enough, she came over and we did it. Turns out she's only 23.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
robbing the cradle.
Some.
Yeah.
Robbing the cradle.
She said, how old are you? I said, well, I'm very young. She said,
have you ever heard of Methuselah?
But it's kind of a bad thing. She was really hot, but, you know, the thing is she smokes pot all the time. She was telling me how great it is to smoke pot and how she went to see Radiohead on Ecstasy. I'm like, well, that's really nice. I don't do that anymore.
All right, how do you rectify, forgive the expression, uh-huh. do you rectify the situation of not liking genitals in your mouth and having sex with strangers?
Who said I don't like genitals in my mouth?
You.
Did I?
Quote, why would anybody want to put something that pees into their mouth, end quote.
Well, that's like a lesbian
thing, you know, I don't remember what I said.
You don't put the urethra in your mouth.
I don't know. You know, I'm too old. That's all.
How do you
I'm
get the vagina in your mouth without it getting a little urethra on there?
Urethra.
You're asking the gay man.
Yes, I eat pussy, Vera. I don't know what I said before. Maybe that's how it was before, but that's how it is today, and you're going to have to accept it or get fucked.
Well, I didn't realize. Well, I'm already, you know, I already get fucked, but I'm
okay.
I'm,
now we answer Wanda's original question. We're making progress for once.
Thank you. It's only 30 minutes in.
Okay.
Well, it's been about 30 minutes.
Good night, everybody. We're here every Thursday.
Actually,
don't forget
to try
24,
the veal. It's only 24, not including the time we chatted before the program.
Huh?
Program. No, I know. I'm just.
I'm done with my topics. Thank you, and sorry for derailing once again with sex. Did you get laid?
Who are you talking to?
Yeah.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, I beat you.
Yes, you beat me. And you probably always will because you're older and wiser. And
and I'm a lesbian. I'm a woman.
No, I don't. I understand that I am a multifaceted, multi-layered creature. It's okay. What now?
I'm a woman, and we women are smarter than men, as you can see from the convention.
True.
We women are smarter than men.
True. And
right, Vera?
True. Now, what were you going to say, Vera?
I was going to say, baby. I don't understand, Wanda. You're not getting laid. You're very, very handsome. You've got a great body.
Oh my God! I just thought of how ridiculous it is that I got laid before Wanda, because I'm just hideous beast.
You are not either a hideous beast. But you know,
I'm a 59-year-old lesbine, and I got laid in the pork.
Lesbine.
Now,
you know what I think it is I've learned about myself? What? I think I'm just afraid of men. I think I'm afraid of getting intimate.
Or maybe you're afraid of fucking.
Well, no, see, that's
too.
That's a serious subject. Are you kidding? Are you
No, I think there, well, sure. I mean, don't you think it's not like there's a drought on gay sex in the world? I mean, it's not like I couldn't go out, you know, in 5 minutes. I could order up some cock sitting here chatting.
You know
with
what
you
honestly
all,
helped me in getting over this was Helen Gurley Brown.
Oh, Jesus.
Because she did this bit that I played the other day. How to get how to get a man if you aren't pretty. And it's really very good. And I realized that because it worked, that I must not be very pretty. But it
works.
You
are very pretty.
They said you can't be shy. Helen Gurley Brown said, you can't be shy. You can't be prim and proper when you're homely. You got to go for it. And you got to pray, she said. Pray. And stick a cotton in your bra with perfume.
Well, I've come to learn, I don't think pretty has much to do with sex at all,
okay,
to be quite frank.
Did when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I think it has much more to do with willing and ready.
You know, when
I've seen some people fuck some ugly things before. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You sure is ugly. There are a lot of ugly people having a lot of sex, is what I'm saying. So, anyway,
yeah,
let's
not talk about me. Daring.
I think you ought to make a move on that Adam Carmichael.
He's got a boyfriend, and he's like my sister.
Oh, well.
Well, there's a Helen Gurley Brown recording for that, too. I just don't know.
I wouldn't care about him being like your sister, but I stand firm when someone's got a monogamy commitment. You don't fuck around with that.
Buy him a baby kangaroo.
I got a question, though.
Go ahead. Intimacy.
Can I just say something?
Yeah. Of course, darling. You're the hostess.
Yes. We would never interrupt.
Shut the fuck up!
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, my God. They're going to come in here and fire me for being rude.
Naked.
No, I'm curious. So is there something, is it wrong to have sexual relations with someone who is involved in a relationship?
Yes.
For you, I'm saying.
Yes, because I done it and it was not pretty. It wasn't
good.
So
tell me why for you it's not a good idea.
God, to be the other woman, it's awful. It's the worst thing there is. In my experience, because
now when you say other woman, do you mean somehow romantically or purely physical?
I mean both.
Okay.
Well, no, it can't be purely physical and romantic. I mean romantic and physical. Yeah.
Okay.
So, but I had an experience where I dated this gal and she was with somebody else, and you know, it's always the same thing. I'm gonna leave my lesbian wife because I'm a lesbian. I'm gonna leave my other lesbian wife for you soon, even though she's a psychiatrist and makes thousands of dollars a day and drives a BMW for you and your bicycle. I'm gonna leave her, just not today. You know, and you buy that, and it keeps you out of real relationships, and then they expect you to be loyal. It's fucked.
So it's more about for you.
It's a death trap. It's a suicide trap. What?
It's for you. It's more about how it's unhealthy for you.
Absolutely. Why should I give a shit about the other person? She's already married.
Vera, I'm just curious.
Mm-hmm. I always look at the relationship, whether or not there is an agreement of monogamy. If we're taking that as the the concept here, that there is an agreement of monogamy between this couple, and you become the third party in this couple, I think that you and the party from the couple should be shot because
what?
Because
hello.
Because the agreement to monogamy is an agreement.
Vera, why can't you just say for once, I agree with Madge.
I agree with Madge.
Thank you.
But I don't think you do, really. I think you
no,
have
I don't
a different
at all.
Perspective.
Oh,
I think,
fuck.
I think that... see, I just... You know, I was in a relationship for 8 years prior to my 25-year marriage to my precious husband. I was in a relationship for 8 years where we began monogamous with an agreement of monogamy. Then we both cheated on each other, and then we both opened the relationship, quote unquote, to try to save it, and it was disastrous. But
like yeah. Sorry.
But my point is that I don't think people should be cheating. I don't have a problem with you having a partner and you say, you know, we're gonna love each other or whatever, or be together as a couple, but we're gonna have outside flings. If that's the agreement you both make, terrific. Go for it. You know, if you guys are happy that way. But if you've made a commitment to someone, I will be monogamous. You will be my only emotional and physical partner.
But you know what is this you're forgetting? It's like the question of ownership. I mean, who
ownership?
Yeah. Who this vagina belonged to? Who it belonged to?
My
who,
body.
Who it
my
belonged
body,
to?
Listen to me. My
this
body.
This is my vagina,
oh,
but
fuck me.
I give it to you. Who it belonged to? That's all I'm saying.
Vera, okay, Madge, put it back in your
it's
pants.
It's done.
My body, Vera. My soul. This is going to be up for laughter and ridicule. My body, my soul, my heart, and my mind belong to Gooch. Everything I am belongs
to Gooch.
That's
right, exactly. Who it belonged to.
Who it belonged to. Okay, that's unquestionable, unshakable, because that's our agreement with one another. That's the way we work. If there's a couple that has made an agreement that they are going to be monogamous to one another, that they are not going to have sexual partners outside of the relationship, and then one of them goes and does it, they ought to have their balls chopped off.
But it's kind of interesting that you look at it from the standpoint of the married couple, I think because you're married. I look at it from the standpoint of the single person, because that's what I identify with.
Balls cut off, too. You shouldn't be
fucking
around.
I don't have testicles, you stupid whore.
I'm sorry. You should
I
have
got
your
ovaries.
You should have your ovaries yanked out, then, because
you can
shouldn't
do that.
Be messing around.
But wait,
around.
Can I just ask you a question? But honestly, isn't that just you? Like I'm not disagreeing seriously with anything that you're saying, but it just comes across that's what you're defending so strongly because that's what you want yourself. But I don't do you really think that people should be shot for being unfaithful?
No, I'm being ridiculous in my exaggeration of the punishment. I have to be careful because I tend to use hyperbole in order to attempt humor, and it often falls flat. I don't think that people should have their balls cut off or they should be shot for
infidelity. Really?
For
you don't
infidelity.
Really think they should be shot in public? What about stoned?
Well, I don't mean necessarily that you realistically think that people should have a gun put in their face and shot for being unfaithful. But what I'm talking about is, you know, for me, and I don't know, because I haven't been in a relationship for 25 years with someone, but for me, like, what I want for myself is to not, I have standards for myself, and I realize that I'm not responsible for someone else. So if somebody else makes a mistake, like, I just know, if I were to ever get into a long-term relationship again, I would hope. I shouldn't say no, because things always change. But from where I've been, and I've been in committed relationships that were faithful and unfaithful, and so I know what that feels like. But what the last relationship I was in that was unfaithful taught me was that so someone can tell me that they're being faithful, but ultimately it's not up to me. And ultimately my goal is to not feel like I have some sort of ownership over someone else, because do you see what I'm saying?
Not at all.
I can't, the ownership thing is what, see, this is the difference. And once again, I'm not talking necessarily about my relationship now. I'm just I'm just talking about agreements between people and honoring those agreements, whatever they are, including.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that people are human and they're going to fuck up. So, like, people fuck up and then you have to decide as I a
tell,
result. What
can I tell you that, well, mm-hmm. yeah, that's fair. That mm-hmm. is fair. Mm-hmm. People do fuck up, but I don't know. You know, I have never gone outside, and I'm not making myself out to be anything special, nor Gooch to be anything special, mm-hmm. but we have never gone outside of our relationship in 25 years.
I don't have any problem with, I agree with what everyone's saying here. I don't find any contradiction. There's just different conditions and different situations in relationships.
Well,
and what
to Vera's me,
saying
never...
is if there is a commitment between two to be monogamous, then yeah, to answer your question, it's bad to cheat. Now, in that same situation, is it bad for the other person, for the third wheel to cheat?
If they're aware of it, in other words, if Wanda decided and, you know, OK, let's say that Wanda and Adam, and I know this will never happen, but if Wanda and Adam are sipping tea after they've done a great movie and all of a sudden the moonlight's right and the music's right and they start in on each other and they have mad passionate sex and then go home. Wanda is just
Who's
as guilty
home?
As Adam is, because Wanda knows that Adam is in a committed monogamous relationship, if that were the case. So Wanda would indeed be as guilty as okay. Adam.
But if Adam said, well, you know what, we have an open relationship, Wanda Wisdom, and
all bets are off.
But that doesn't mean it's okay for Wanda's... for her well-being. You
no,
know?
But see, the other thing is you don't, again, I guess where I'm coming from is, again, you don't know what, I don't care what somebody tells you they have or don't have. So I guess being able to make a decision that is healthiest for you, because you don't know if they have an open relationship. You don't know if somebody's single for that matter, even though they say they're single. You don't know, you know, it's like the whole thing about STDs. You don't know if
right.
somebody's got STDs. So there's a certain amount of risk and you try to minimize that risk. But ultimately, I think it comes down to what you feel good about, or what, you know, not feel good about, but what you feel matches your own, you know, set of standards.
Well, I think you have
because ultimately,
if you don't take a person at face value for what they're telling you is the truth, you're going to be second guessing everybody the rest of your life. I think there comes
a
point.
But you should.
Well,
you should, because that it's life or death. Otherwise.
Well, no, absolutely. And that's interesting, because that leads to a question that we got for an advice question that we could probably get into. But I'm not the host, so I should shut up and
did
let
you,
you
get
do it.
No, don't worry. Don't worry. I've got the question. Okay. And I've got wonderful insight, and I'm sure both of you do as well.
Goody.
So. Okay. But you're absolutely right that those kinds of questions of risk are life changing, life involving, life threatening. But what I'm saying is, no matter what someone says to you, you have to take it upon yourself to protect yourself. So, but there's also a point where you have to believe what the person's saying. In other words, if Adam says, "Oh, but our relationship is open," you have to take him. You take him at face value. You can't second guess. Well, I don't believe you. I think that you're monogamous and you just want to have sex now. But at the same time, you know, I'm negative, you say, great, I'm glad you're negative, but I still want to use all the precautions because I just use precautions. And
we're
that's
going
what
too
again,
far into the answers to the question, I think, that's going to come up.
All right, would you
I think that just to put a nice little bow on this, again, I don't think we're talking about necessarily different things. We're just all coming at it from different perspectives. And my feeling was just that, to thine own self be true. I'm only responsible for myself. I'm not responsible for interpreting what somebody else is telling me is truth or not truth. I can really only have the knowledge that is mine, meaning I only know my own truth. So, you know, I don't know what that means, but...
Well, you can't... another thing is, you cannot be held responsible if someone has lied to you. I would never hold... If you had an affair with Adam, knowing
but that doesn't mean you're not going to face the consequences.
Absolutely.
Oh, no.
Because reality
again,
is reality. But what you cannot... What I'm saying is, you asked me originally, Madge, would you blame the third party? And mm-hmm. if the third part, and so yes, I would blame the third party if the third party were aware of the monogamous commitment. However, I would never blame the third party if the third party were lied to.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's what I want to say.
Okay.
All right. Well, I think we beat that horse to death, but I'm glad we did because I thought it was a interesting discussion. Mm-hmm. Now, the question that Madge brought up and Vera mentioned as well is a question submitted by one of our lovely listeners, and we encourage all of you to send us your inappropriate and retarded questions. This one is from a gentleman named Room for More. He says, may I read the letter, ladies?
Please
yes.
do.
Okay. Dear Eat This Hot Show ladies, I am a single gay male of 32 years. I'm a 90% bottom. I've been dating a guy for 2 weeks who fucks me real good and has a has a Wanda-sized penis.
Yeah, isn't baby. That nice? Yeah, baby.
We've been having safe sex so far with no exception for 2 weeks. I'm HIV negative, and the other guy is also HIV negative, so he claims, as of June of this year. He thinks that since we're both negative, we should stop using condoms. I'm very much against this, A, because I don't necessarily believe him. Why should I trust him? And B, since antibodies take up to 6 months to develop, there's a small chance that one of our HIV tests could have been a false negative. So, I want to keep getting fucked by this hot guy, but I don't want to lose him. I think he meant lose him by refusing to go bareback. What should I do? Ladies, who would like to take this first?
Not me.
I'll take
Vera.
It.
Vera.
I'll take it first, absolutely. You want to get fucked enough to risk dying? Then, by all means, let him bareback you. Because there's always a possibility that you're going to get infected with the HIV virus, and you're going to contract AIDS, and you're going to die from it because you really wanted to still fuck him. So you got to get your priorities straight here, kiddo, or get your priorities gay here, kiddo, and realize that a fuck is not worth death. So, no, you still use a condom, and you use a condom until you've been together for, I don't know, a year. But even then, you don't know if the guy's been monogamous for that year. You can only take him at his word. So I would say keep using the condoms.
Until you trust him? What do you...
And not until you trust him. I would say... But the only way... See, that gets in... And I've answered the question. I think we should let the other... And then we could discuss after everybody's answered.
You know, I
question.
Hate to say it, but I totally agree with Vera.
But I want to. I have a question. So, Vera, do you still practice safe sex?
No. And we never did practice safe sex ever, because when we got together, AIDS was new, and AIDS was we didn't know about it at all, very little, because AIDS really hit. I believe in when was it 1984 when everybody knew exactly what it was and what it was doing. I remember there was what everybody thought was a gay cancer. There was some kind of gay cancer, and basically that was Kaposi's sarcoma.
Okay, so you never practiced safe sex. So
no, we never did. And for the first 10 years of our time together, we were waiting for the symptoms because, you know, like I said, I had lived at the baths in before Gooch, and when we got together, became totally and completely exclusive with one another, but I didn't know what I had brought into the relationship. So, and we were deathly afraid to get tested because at that time, if you were positive, you were going to die. There was no ifs, ands, or buts. So we didn't get tested because we were, we didn't want to get told we were going to die. So we waited 10 years.
That's an unbelievable.
So.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I just want to say
there's not any contradiction there in telling, you know, what's good for the goose.
Hell fucking no, because the times have changed so drastically, my darling. Oh, my God. Times are totally different now.
Yeah, but I don't think it's the same thing. I mean, since Vera's been aware of HIV, she's been in a relationship.
Exactly.
And
already, already fucking like bunnies for a long time.
Yeah. I could see.
I'm just saying, like, you don't see that, you know, again, what you're saying is that you can never trust anyone, right? To a certain extent. And so, or you could, but that doesn't mean, so it's what you're saying really is that there's a level of risk that you're willing to accept.
Exactly. And after 2 weeks, that's an unacceptable level of risk. If this person had said, I've been with my partner for a year, and we have been monogamous with each other, and our last tests were negative, and we were thinking about taking off the condoms, I would probably say, okay, you know, there's still a little bit of risk, but go for it. You know, you've been together for a year. You've said you're monogamous with only each other. Your tests are negative. Go ahead and take the rubber off. But this is not what he's saying at all.
You know, I was having a conversation with a friend after my yoga class yesterday, and in some way I think it's relevant because, you know, he was talking about the whole unsafe sex thing, because I actually had a friend who told me that he's seroconverted to HIV positive last week, and it was basically from pre-cum. And sticking it in a little, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And anyway, so what my friend said is, I don't remember how he put it, but it's basically like, you need to rehearse these things in your mind. You need to like...
Not even in your mind, you need to rehearse them out loud with others.
Maybe. But you need to get it figured out so that you can picture the situation. I mean, it's a...
Well, I'm still interested in hearing the answers to the questions here. So the answer to the question. So did you finish, Madge? And Wanda, I would like to hear
I'm just saying, you have to stick to your guns and just maybe explain it and explain, look, I'm not going to take the condom off and here's why, and explain what you just said in the letter to him. And... You know, and that's tough, and I know it's easier said than done because you're not there in the situation and he's hot and everything, but, you know, you're not logical when you're in a relationship. You're not logical when you're in love, and you're certainly not logical when you're in the heat of the moment. So, you know, you just have to trust, I don't know, you have to see it logically when you're offline, as in not with him, you know, and just, yeah, you have to look at it as the fact that there is a risk. Do you want to take that risk? And for what? And personally, I don't think it's worth it. And from what I know about you, what's his name? Open Hand, whatever.
Room for more.
Room for more. You know, it doesn't sound like a 2-week relationship. You don't trust him, obviously, enough to be telling the truth. So that's a significant risk there. Plus, there's the there's always that risk of the 6-month window that you mentioned, which is absolutely true. So, you know, do you want to, is it worth? No, I don't think it's worth it, so don't do it, you know? Of course not.
From my perspective, I have a very simple answer and then a little bit more detailed response. But the easy answer is, I will fuck you hard with a condom every day of your life. So, hey.
Okay, that's good.
You know, there's your answer.
You mean you personally?
Come on over. Yes, me personally, I would fuck you in the ass with a condom.
But you don't know what this person looks like, Mr. 32, open hand, room for more, whatever his name is.
True, I don't. I was trying to make a joke, but clearly humor falls on deaf ears.
You know what?
On this program.
I really think that is not... You know, if you tell him that, I think if he jumps you, which I don't think he'll dump you if he really likes you, and that's the bottom line. Maybe you're just afraid to find out the truth. Because if he's only willing to fuck you without a condom, then he's not really in love with you. Sorry.
And he's done that with other people, too.
Right.
Okay, well, let me just finish what I was going to say.
What you finna say?
I was just finna say, my opinion is that you are only responsible, or everybody is responsible for their, you know, health and well-being.
They're jubblies.
And so, huh?
They're jubblies. As you
they're
put it.
Jubblies. They're engorged jubblies. So everybody is responsible. You cannot rely on words. You cannot rely on tests, on pieces of paper, on dates. Like I've seen, you know, people just do all these, you know, things to try to get proof that somebody is, you know, HIV negative. Well, you don't know if they got syphilis. You don't know if they got crabs.
Absolutely true.
If they've got HPV, which the majority of people do.
And HPV causes anal cancer.
It'll cause cancer. It'll give you warts the size of cauliflower on your ass.
Wow.
And you cannot tell by look. You would not believe the number of people that I have heard say the most ludicrous things. Like, when you look at someone, you should be able to tell whether or not they have a disease. So what I'm saying to you is...
You can't see no wart? You mean genital warts are contagious even if you don't, even if there are no visible warts?
Absolutely. HPV can be transmitted without you knowing that the other person has it.
No wonder
because
you don't
who in
have
their
sex,
right mind,
Wanda.
Because who in their right mind, be honest about it, if you saw giant cauliflower-shaped protrusions coming from somebody's ass, would you touch
ow.
That?
Oh, I'm getting itches all over. Stop it.
And so nobody would fuck that.
The
I mean,
elephant
there's like,
man.
There are like two guys that would fuck that. Shared. But most of us wouldn't. So the reason it's spread so rapidly is because you don't have to be exposed to the actual.
Well, no, it's just that you remind me
growth.
There's two stories actually of people I know who have encountered that exact situation which you described.
Yeah.
One told me like some guy showed him his dick and it was just covered with warts.
So, what I'm
and
saying is
the other
is
one
you never...
was like touching some guy's asshole. He said it was like sandpaper. It was so bumpy. Of course, that could have been duty.
All right, get the 12-year-old out of your
I'm
system.
Done. You brought it up, honey.
No, I'm just saying, I'm making a point that you never know what somebody has. You don't know if halfway through the sex act, they're going to turn on you and vomit acid in your face. Probably not, but you never know.
Oh, my God.
So you Did have you? To come to terms with what you're comfortable with, and then you have to, like Madge said, you really do have to walk it through in your head. But I found for me, myself, because I'm not just giving you false advice that I never would follow myself, because I've had these problems. I've been in the love act earlier in life and removed the condom and really was like, what the hell am I doing? I know 10 times better that this is not a good idea. Mm-hmm. So I have had discussions with, doctors and sex people who said, okay, this is how you can say no, or this is something legitimate that you can do to keep this from, happening again and again. But it doesn't just happen automatically. And again, going into a situation where you're having sex with someone and they look good and they sound good and they wouldn't have something like this is just asinine. So for this guy, I would just say, it's clear. I think we all agree. Don't take the condom off. And if you never want to take the condom off, you shouldn't have to.
And
I don't care if you've been in a relationship for 20 years. You don't have to take the condom off. Not only because there's bacteria back there that'll give you an infection. And I have a friend who almost had to have surgery because of that.
Cheryl?
Yes. No, she doesn't have sex.
And
but
it
so
rears
if
its
you
ugly
never,
head again.
Because as somebody who fucks ass,
yes,
I don't notice a difference when I'm fucking ass whether I have a condom on or not. And you know why?
Why?
Because I started having sex with a condom. That's how I learned how to do it. So I don't really notice a big difference. And people who tell you, like, my dick's too big for a condom, you can fit your arm in a condom.
Also they have large condoms. I had a next-door neighbor who had a schlong the size of his leg, and he had to buy the extra-large condoms, and his wife
knows. Hey, what do you mean you had a next-door neighbor? How did you know about this?
Oh, he loved to show it. He's famous, too, so I can't mention his name, but he was a dear, precious friend.
Porno actor?
Oh, no. A regular, honest-to-God actor.
Oh, Milton Berle.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
Milton Berle. Hey.
Rerun.
He used to stand up because our second story windows are right across from each other, and he used
to. Will you tell us who it was off the air, as it were? Please.
Yeah, but see, you told me a while ago that I have to be careful with what I tell you because you tend to spew it without thinking about it.
That's true. Don't tell me.
I know.
Okay. So anyway, what were you saying?
Well, he used to stand in his window backlit, so it was just a shadow, and he was naked. And he thrust his hips and flapped this enormous elephant trunk.
What the hell? Was he putting on a show?
And what were you doing?
And he knew that we were...
What were you
doing?
Knitting?
Like you guys were... Yeah, you were having like a cheese plate while you watched him show off his junk.
No, he would do shit like this because he's funny. And he
cheese plate.
And come on, Gooch. Let's have a cheese plate and some wine, a box of wine, and watch Milton Berle shake his jubblies.
Wine.
I know that Vera doesn't drink boxed wine. I used to, though, don't you think? Ooh, we used to take the bag out of the box of wine.
Oh, we shut Vera up with that boxed wine, didn't we? Somebody touched a sore spot.
No, I just don't like getting interrupted when I'm telling a story.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Remember, we don't interrupt each other here.
Oh, whatever. Yes, we do.
Okay.
It's all good. Go ahead, Vera.
No, I'm done. I don't have anything else to say.
Well, it's been about 30
minutes.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so we still got a few minutes. Okay, so anything else we want to say to Gaping Hole?
It's room Gaping for more.
No, I think we've covered it. Thank you for the question. And where do people send emails to? Because I don't know why they send it to me. Are they sending it to Auntie Vera?
He sent it to all three of us.
No. I forwarded it.
She forwarded it. I didn't get it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you know
I would say Madge is the least likely to both of us are the least likely to do something about it. So feel free to do Vera.
No, don't send them to me. Send them to me. Oh, God. Send them to me now. AuntieVeraCharles@gmail.com. But I want to set up something. I want to set up another email account for this situation. I should have done it already, but I'm a flake.
Okay.
So
we'll just wait till you set it up. Meanwhile, they can send it to one of us.
Or, if you really want us to get it, just send it like 50 times.
Yeah.
You are a hateful fucking drag queen.
No, it's true. I'm the same way.
No, I'm serious.
I'm not a drag queen.
I thought you meant send it to me 50 times.
Send it to me because that's the only way. I need the reminders.
She didn't mean send it to Vera 50 times. She meant send it to Wanda 50 times.
Oh, yeah. I see.
Because she retorted. Gosh, we're 56 minutes. Oh, too bad we didn't even get to talk about any politics. Oh, well.
Did you see? Now, did you really mean that you enjoyed the female speakers so far?
I didn't mean that. The only one I watched was Michelle Obama. I didn't watch Hillary.
Didn't she do a good job, Michelle Obama? I mean, for whatever your political leanings, you have to agree she's a great orator.
No, I don't agree. And I don't think
it
was that great. No.
Why not?
I thought it was really fake. I mean, I respect her intellect, but I don't think her intellect shined. I think it was very calculated to make her show family values and all this bullshit, and do the wink, wink. You know, we represent families. You know, we're not going to talk about gay people here. We're going to talk about our family, and we're going to leave an open mic on these little precocious girls so that we can hear them say "daddy" 500 times. I mean, Michelle, you could clearly see she was reading the teleprompter, and she made several mistakes in her speech, but that I don't fault her for because she's inexperienced, and I think that's kind of charming in a way. But for somebody who's a Harvard or a Princeton graduate who's gone so far herself to just talk about family, and how her husband doesn't break his promises except for FISA, because AT&T sponsors this event, I find it a little bit patronizing.
Always ready with an erudite comment. Mm. I don't disagree with anything you said other than just on a gut emotional level, I really felt that she said something. I don't know if she was sincere or not, but it really felt like she was. It felt like she was, speaking with an emotion, because you've got to think, I don't know, maybe I'm completely wrong, but this was like her first opportunity to counter all of the shit that the media has been sort of heaping upon or characterizing her and, her husband, regardless of their legitimate criticisms of their, of his candidacy, because clearly there are many.
Right.
But just on a personal level, when I was sitting there watching it, I really felt, a connection, some emotional reaction to the...
Well, that's good. That's good. I mean, I really hope... The one thing I hope that comes out of this convention... I haven't been watching it because, for me, there's really not a whole motivation to... I don't care. I know who... maybe there is. Who cares? Shut up.
Is that the Trotskala?
I'm sorry. He's on my lap and he's barking. But I just hope that this convention accomplishes one thing, which is convinces the Hillary voters to vote for Obama instead of McCain. That's all.
Yeah.
I hope. So I'm much more concerned about that. and whatever. You know, if I was Michelle Obama, I mean, I think she was very excited, very, you know, because she's like, goody, goody gumdrops.
Yeah.
I'm this close to being the fucking first lady. Goody, goody gumdrops.
But isn't there just something, I mean, again, regardless of the policy and the real stuff, which matters, I know it does.
Yeah.
But there was just something very subversive about a strong black
Absolutely.
Woman.
And you know what? Because that same night after that speech, I watched Bette Davis in Jezebel with the yesm and the, you know, about the Deep South. And it is incomprehensible the depths that we have come as a nation that we can elevate an African American to this position. It's phenomenal. And I got goosebumps even more so when she talked about being from the South Side of Chicago. I mean, these are people that are from Chicago who I've actually met, and it's very exciting, but I have to separate that emotional stuff from, you know.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to separate it, but that's not what's going to be. And I know what you're saying.
I'm very skeptical at this point. I'm upset because I feel like I felt like Obama promised a lot of things to the liberals in the primary, and then he just, you know, just changes towards the middle. It's like Obama is trying to be like McCain, and McCain's trying to be.
Don't you think he's doing exactly what Kerry did,
yes,
which again I would criticize?
Absolutely.
You know, it's that I'm afraid to lose it, so I'm going to run to the middle.
Exactly. I think it's a huge mistake.
And not even run to the middle. I'm going to run to the other side.
It's been an hour,
Vera,
ladies.
Do you have any ideas or opinions?
I did not. I didn't see Obama, Mrs. Obama's speech, but I did see Hillary's speech, and I was actually very impressed with her energy and everything. I mean, she was very compelling in that speech. I wonder if she had been that compelling earlier, if things would have been different.
I told a friend the other day, and I know we're over, but I told a friend the other day, and this is before the convention, I think it was on Sunday, I said, you know what, I think I made a mistake when I voted for Obama.
On that, we should say bye-bye.
Well, yeah, we'll say goodbye. I'll just wrap up with saying I think it was clear with that speech that she has grown throughout this election process, and she's become her own, you know, her own person.
I think they should have closed that night with "We Are a Family" from Dreamgirls.
We are family.
We are a family.
We are so much more, growing stronger, growing wiser. We need a high.
And we too here on Eat This Hot Show are indeed a family. Sometimes we yell. Sometimes we have sex with each other.
Oi,
sometimes.
Oi.
I don't remember
Not
that.
Really. Not really. In a blackout, we have sex, drunken sex in a blackout. We're a big, strong family.
That can be all but one of us.
And if you want to see my zucchini-sized appendage or listen to Madge whip out her lips, or maybe listen to Vera thank very nice and meaningful Mexican people the next time she's at Chi Chi's, you can do so here on Eat This Hot Show. My name is Wanda Wist. No, I think they're all gone. Eat This Hot Show. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
You're such an asshole.
Bye. Thanks for saying Yeast Radio.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
That's WandaWisdom.com.
Listen, we're done recording, right?
I don't know. Are we?
Learn to drive, Grandpa. And I just kept screaming, learn to drive, Grandpa. I go, you almost ran over me and my fucking dog, you asshole. I go, I don't give a fuck. Fuck you. If you can't learn to drive, you should give back your fucking driver's license. Go fuck yourself. I'll fuck you with I'm sorry. I was humiliated and I went home and I'm never leaving the house again. That's my story. The end.